No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. Along with my co-host, Maria Sanchez, we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So join in the discussion by calling in at 888-627-6008, or you can Skype us your questions. You can Skype your questions to BBSRADIO1. We're excited tonight to have a special guest with us, Phyllis Smith, who is a successful entrepreneur and a leader in women's nonprofit. She's the producer of a national endowment conferences and is a master in transformation. As a highly sought after keynote and motivational speaker, as well as an increasingly known woman's advocate in North America and Europe. And we're excited to have her on the show because we're going to talk about President-elect Donald Trump, and also the fact that at the end of the week, we're going to have a big march of women that come into Washington essentially to protest, I think, Donald Trump's inauguration. But we want to know, Ms. Smith is a pro-Trump person, and we want to know how she feels since she's an expert on women and she likes Donald Trump. So welcome to the show. Phyllis, it's so nice of you to be on.
Thank you so much, Senator. And Maria, it's a pleasure to meet you as well.
Thank you for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome.
March on Washington with women is too much, too little, too late. Why don't you wait until there's something to protest?
Well, that's a good point.
I want to go back to the 70s. And I had to think about this because I am a women's advocate. But at the same token, I'm also an advocate for the economy. As a business person first, non-gender-wise. We have to look at what's hurting our families and ourselves right now. And it doesn't matter who's in the government unless they're going to make a change. And I'm very disappointed with the people that are not giving Donald Trump a chance. I mean, when you said I'm a Trump supporter, you know what? I'm a supporter of anybody that's going to make this country better. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I don't care if he's a Democrat or I don't care what he is. It doesn't matter. Right now, this country is hurting. And I don't know if either one of you saw the Diane Sawyer special last night on TV about, you need to see it. It's all she did a whole year full of meeting people around the country and how they're suffering in California, in Kansas, on the East Coast, the West Coast, the middle of the country, down south. People don't have jobs. Some people are working three jobs. It's a disgrace. I never in my life ever thought I would see something like this. And segregation has even worse than it's ever been. So, again, as a women's advocate, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just hoping that these poor people that are out there are going to be able to have a decent life. And I think that's what we all want, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yes. And you know what? I think you make a very good point there. And economic issues are women's issues. I mean, you know, my mom was a single mom. There are lots of single moms in America, people that are the primary breadwinners. So, you know, there's that kind of class of issues that we call women's issues. But I think economic issues are everybody's issue.
Well, and if we can stop the cycle of dependence, you know, that in itself, I think that we would all agree that rather than take a handout, if somebody could actually earn what they're getting, everyone wins. They have their self-esteem and their dignity and their own self-respect. And we have less people sucking on the tit of the American government because it should be there for emergencies, but not for generations. And I think that's where we've gone wrong, you know, with our big hearts.
No, well, over 45% of people are in poverty right now. And I don't care if it's a woman or a man. We have a lot of role reversals here. You don't have to be a single parent anymore. There's always somebody who's not working, right? There's somebody out there, a husband or a wife, that lost their job. And they haven't been able to get it back. And guess what? They're working for $12 an hour. Who can live on that? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, we're in the middle of a fight here in Washington, D.C., actually, to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. And it's been a big fight.
Don't
know if it's going to happen. Don't know if it's going to happen. And really, too, in Washington, D.C., where a two-bedroom condominium can cost you $600,000 or $700,000, $15 an hour seems crazy to me. But, you know, insufficient. So that's true. Well, one thing I'd like to point out before we start, get too far into this, is that we have 200 bus permits that have been issued for people to come to the inauguration. But 1,800 bus permits have been issued to protesters who want to come.
Really?
I mean, that just seems, amazing to me that nine times as many protesters expect to show up now who knows if they'll all show up, but nine times as many protesters as supporters. You know, this is really a rocky start, and women seem to be particularly upset about this guy. One thing that really intrigued me about what you had to say, Phyllis, was that you think he's made so far that President-elect Trump has made some good nominations for cabinet positions. I'd love to talk to you about those. Which ones do you think are good, and why do you think they're good?
Well, I like Tillerson. I'm a business person. I've been in business for over 35 years. And this country needs economic growth. I mean, I don't care what nationality, culture, race, whatever. We all need jobs. There'll be less anger out there. This country became this angry ball of fire. And it doesn't matter who was running. People were not, you know, they're protesting so much over things that they have no control over. You know, I'm in Philadelphia where the Democratic Convention came in. And I got to tell you, there was plenty of protesters here for the Democratic Convention also. Then there was the other protesters that wanted Bernie in. You know, I mean, you can go back and forth. I used to be a committee woman in Philadelphia. And by the way, a Republican committee woman in a sea of Democrats. And it's pretty interesting. But it didn't matter because the state house actually had a lot of Republicans. So Pennsylvania, you shouldn't be so surprised about taking Philadelphia because the suburban areas of greater Philadelphia, and even the Amish, there you go, the Amish had Trump signs on their farms. They never vote for anybody. It was crazy. But, you know, let me go back to your question, Senator. I had an opportunity to listen to some of the conversations and the questioning that they had for him. This is a man who has had a powerful position all over the world. He knows many of these world leaders because it's all comes down to economics for them as well. The countries are suffering out there. Some of them, they're probably very concerned about oil and for us to do our own, using coal and energy products. And they should be because it's right underneath our feet. But then, of course, we have environmental issues. There's so many things going on. And yet, I think he's keenly aware of that. And he's touching on areas that he would make a great statesman. I do not believe that he would go out there and embarrass the United States. I do believe he will go out there from a sense of having tremendous experience and be able to talk to these other countries, no matter who they are. So I was impressed with him. Who was running for, I forgot the name of some of these people. I saw them, but I really, Secretary of Defense, a general. I mean, I can't think of a better person to run the military than a general. I mean, seriously, the man has experience. He's been there. He knows what's going on. You don't put a layperson in there. They have to understand how the military works.
Well, and apparently they're having to give him a pass card because you're supposed to be 7 years out, and he's only four. So they're having to allow that to also be a part of his confirmation.
They have respect for him. They have a lot of respect for him. And which is good. We need to see that. You know what I think we're really missing here? When you talk about these protesters coming in, there's a lack of respect. And it bothers me. I'm a pseudo-conservative. I am on the fence here. I'm between the two. But I am conservative. I grew up in a conservative family that worked very hard in the middle class. I have a sister who's a multi-millionaire. Good for her. And she forgot where she came from. But, you know, I run a women's organization. I started with no money to help women. And we even help women in transition. We give them free membership so they can come and become enlightened and actually become something and stay motivated. But, you know, when you look at these people running in the cabinet, these are intelligent people, and he surrounded himself with them. A leader, and I do a lot of speaking on different topics, and one of them is leadership. If you're a good leader, you surround yourself with very intelligent, experienced leadership-type people. Because they're going to make you look good. He's doing that.
Well,
I have to give him credit for that.
The theme this week with the hearings has been that the folks that he has picked, President-elect Trump, are independent, autonomous thinkers. And to a one, they've said that they would deviate from him and some of his polarizing statements. And he has also said, I'm not hiring them or suggesting them because they are lockstep with me. I think they're the best and the brightest of the minds, and I'm going to let and delegate them do what they do and not micromanage.
Well, you know, the only problem, I have two questions with the things that Phyllis has said. And one is when you say that you need a guy from the military, a guy with military service to understand the military, I agree with you. But what does that say about Tillerson? He will be the first person to have this office in modern history that has no experience, has no diplomatic experience, has no State Department service, has no foreign service. And I find that very troublesome. Because I think.
I'd like to address that with you because, and I worked in international marketing and sales for AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you work all over the world, number one, you have to understand the ethics and the culture of every country that you work with. For instance, third world countries, many of them will not negotiate with women. China,
right.
Japan, India, I can go through a whole list of them. And I respected their cultures. And I would bring in a man to negotiate with them. Although it was something I would take care of, I understood how they felt. I believe that Mr. Tillerson has that understanding. I think he knows how to, what we call, smooth them, or schmooze is a better word, schmooze, schmooze them, because he's done this before. There are people that have been in office that, first of all, our last president did not have that experience, and it showed greatly in his diplomatic policies overseas. And he really got crucified for it by China, by Russia. And many of these other countries really did not respect him for that. So I'm not concerned so much about his experience in the State Department or anything like that, because I got to tell you, I don't know what these people do anymore, but I do know that we need to make changes. And if this man can make those changes and do it eloquently and represent this United States the right way, I give him the benefit of the doubt.
Well, then let's talk about myself. I think that's very well said. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that because I think in experience is important. But let's also talk about the whole oil thing. The oil is under our feet, and there are climate, environmental concerns. But this is a man who came out against climate change. He's a skeptic about climate change. Is this the right guy to have negotiating oil policy, among other things? I don't know.
I got to answer that because number one, he was a scientist and an engineer before, okay? And my father was a scientist, and I'm going to tell you how they think. They're very logical, number one. they look at things in a different perspective than the average person does. Everything you do has to be proven. It's a system that they follow. And my father was a very unique person, and thank God I have half his brain. My mother was the entertainer one. Okay. But it was great. You know, I grew up with a man who I was learning chemistry in first grade. And and the thing is, they are very different. The way they strategize, everything is strategic and logical. And it's almost like having Star Wars and Spock put it to hell, okay? And with this gentleman, I was very impressed. I didn't realize he was a scientist before. And with climate change, many of the scientists in the world, and I do follow all this, I watch all the visionaries, I read a lot. And I'm not an expert. I'm not the environmental expert, but I do believe our planet needs changes again. And again, that's the other side of me. There's your Democratic side, Senator. I believe that we need to do something with the environment. We need to have protections for our industry. We need to be looking at the land and seeing what we're doing wrong with it. The oceans are filthy. It's very sad. And they're killing all the mammals and they're killing all the fish. But I also understand that weather is cyclical. And if you remember, I don't know how old the two of you are, but I remember blizzards that were unbelievable when I was a child. And I'm going to go back to the 60s. We would get 3-4 feet of snow, and we'd have 100-degree summers. So, and we had the floods, and we had all these different types of climate changes that we're seeing, the cyclical climate changes. So from reading this, I understand that there are cyclical changes in weather. And I've talked to a number of meteorologists that are on the news here in Philadelphia, and they said the same thing. So I don't know who to believe, but I do know that we need to change the way we're doing things in this world. Otherwise, we won't have a planet left. So I'm starting to sound like the Sierra people out in California. But
it's well, that's okay.
Speaking
to,
a Californian. Well, and here we've
my
been.
My girlfriend
in
California
sixth...
will love me for that.
Our sixth year of a drought, and we've had more rain this month than we've had like in 5 years. So 40% of the state is now not in a drought status. And everyone was like doom and gloom. And this is the, you know, we live in a desert and this is the beginning of the end and blah, blah, blah. But I do agree with you, Phyllis. I think climate, if you look at it in 100-year increments instead of decades, is how you really get a perspective about what we're going through.
Well, the only thing I would say about that, ladies, is I hate to argue, especially with two women, because I know I'm mentally outmatched. But all I would say is that the preponderance of scientists around the world embrace the idea of global warming, and it bothers me that he doesn't. And the very last problem I have with him is his connection to Putin. He's very connected to Mr. Tillerson. Putin gave him a medal. Gave him a medal. So do you
is
think
that bad to get
problem?
Along with our worst nightmare?
Yeah, isn't there a quote like that?
Like
it says, stay closer to your enemies.
Exactly.
Right, well, that is the old saying, right? That is
right,
the old
saying. Senator, I heard that medal came. They give that to every dignitary that comes in, and like Olympic star that comes to Russia, and it's a generalized medal. It wasn't something like the Liberty Medal that Joe Biden just got, which was amazing because I think they've given out, what, 4 of those in the last 40 years?
Yeah.
Honestly, if Joe Biden had run, I probably would have voted for him. It was like the worst of the troops. You know, and not because he lives in Delaware and I'm nearby, just that I think that he knows a lot about what's going on in this world and our country.
Me too.
But, and I'm not even a Democrat. I'm like in the middle. I'm an independent now. It's amazing how many people run after me because I am an independent. But I got to tell you that this country does need a change, no matter whether it's environment or whether it's about women's issues or whether it's about anything else. I'm very concerned that when we talked about women coming and protesting, I'm very disappointed that people aren't more interested in learning about what could be, not what was.
Well, how about just
before.
Let's let 100 days go by. Let's see. Let's not protest from the gate. Let's see. Even 6 months, for goodness sake, out of 4 years, you're going to be there the same weekend? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, this is the one area in which I think we're in perfect agreement with. I have so many problems with this man, but I do agree that to plan a protest prior to his inauguration, to happen the day after his inauguration, if they came to me and asked me for advice, I would have said, wait and see. You know, the man has been elected president of the United States. It's the one thing that I agree with Kellyanne. She said at one point in an argument, she said, hashtag he's your president. Yes, America, hashtag he's our president.
And he's
all of our presidents. So, you know, regardless of what your political ilk is, you need to, I think your focus needs to be on making America a better place. And so I don't know if that means that you have to support him, but it certainly means you can't stand in his way.
Right. Let the process unfold.
They're trying to do.
Even Nicole Kidman, who's the United Nations Women Goodwill Ambassador, mm-hmm. and she's committed to women's issues, and she does fundraising for breast and ovarian cancer. She said, whatever and however that happened, he's there, and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a 49-year-old Academy Award winner, I think that's fairly powerful, coming from a Hollywood elitist.
And there's very few Hollywood people that are on board. I don't know why. Maybe because they're afraid he might take away television, but it's okay if he does. I mean, the media is a mess right now. And you know what? What I like about the strength that he has is that he does put them in their place. It's refreshing to have somebody who's honest and blunt. I'm tired of hearing people with rhetoric.
Right.
And honestly, Senator, you deal with a lot of those guys. Come on, they're going to tell you what you want to hear. I don't like some politicians because of that. I'm a very direct person, and I've worked through a glass ceiling, and I can go through a whole thing with that. But I remember when Gloria Steinem started for women's rights. And, she's one of my idols. I think it was wonderful, because otherwise I'd be working at McDonald's today and not going through and becoming an executive that I was in the past for a large corporation. But the fact
By the way, Phyllis, did you read her autobiography?
No,
it's absolutely
in
brilliant.
Philadelphia, though. She spoke in Philadelphia, and you know, she wasn't the most eloquent person in the world, but she made a point. And just like
her book is brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Well, there's,
and I've got
you know,
to
what,
say,
my biggest concern is segregation right now, and the discontent of the different races, because I know that Donald Trump he really set people off, but I have a lot of friends that are African American, wonderful women, and that's if they voted for Trump. They're all business women. I don't know whether it's because there's a young people just don't know what's going on in this world, but I see that is a tremendous following from young people that are doing Black Lives Matter. They hate Trump. It just goes on and on and on. It's terrible. I have a big question there, Senator. What do you think about these cops getting shot, though? That's what bothers me a lot.
Well, I think it's horrible that people that stand up for you every day, whether they be policemen, firemen, soldiers, whoever, have become the target of people. I remember growing up and hearing about cops who got killed in the line of duty. But I don't ever remember hearing about cops who had been targeted, people just walking up and shooting them randomly. I think it's a matter of concern. And I wonder how much of it comes out of this, let's call it, vigorous or ginned up debate, about race in our country. And you're right. Black people feel abused in America and more isolated than they have in the past. And I think this is what's brought this to a head in some cases. And yeah, I think it's a shame
considering they had a black president, you would have thought they would have come together better. And I don't understand why our president today did not do anything about this, which bothers me the most.
We've got Taboo on the line.
We do. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's see what Taboo has to say. He always has something interesting to say. Taboo, are you there?
I am. Happy New Year to all of you.
Taboo.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Right. I'd like to say, start off by mentioning, you were talking about climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a known fact that the sun is getting hotter, and the sun is about half its age, and it's getting hotter, and eventually, you know, it's going to burn out. That's why we're working to go and build Mars, you know, because as it gets hotter here, we're going to have to go somewhere or do something. So I think that is the greatest single factor that is causing the heating up of the Earth. Now, what's so bad is we have the known fact that certain scientists changed and manipulated the data. So that's why the great controversy is here now, because we've had scientists who, for political reasons, manipulated the data. So I think that, to me, gives me some understanding of where we are relative to climate change. And on making America great politically with the two candidates, I have a question for all of you.
Go ahead.
Hillary's do you all think Hillary did anything wrong, or did Hillary screw over Bernie Sanders?
Well, I think Hillary did a lot of things wrong. You know,
did a lot of things wrong, right?
Hindsight is 20/20. You know, I wouldn't use this as a critique of her campaign. But, you know, the two most important things that I think Phyllis has said, the single most important thing is America wants change. That should be obvious to all of us.
Right.
You know, you can say more people voted for Hillary Clinton, but 30 million, I think, voted for Donald Trump. So there's 30 million people in America that vote that want change. So that's obvious. And I'm not sure that some of the protesters really get that we do want change. And also I think that Phyllis is absolutely right that America is hurting right now. And that's why they want change. But yeah, I think Hillary, used her advantage, as politicians do, right off the bat to keep Bernie out. I think she certainly did that.
Okay.
I'm
right.
A super
so that's
delicate,
the key.
As you
that,
know.
I don't think it was Hillary Clinton. I do believe it was her staff and the people that were working
yes.
in the Democratic Party.
Yes,
because I don't think she had anything
that.
To do with that. If you look at all those things that were leaked all over the place, but I don't think she wanted to win. And, you know, sometimes
right.
people do things strange ways, right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right.
Well,
and her
yeah, that's
staff,
what I meant.
Yeah.
I didn't mean her personally. I meant the campaign.
Right.
Yeah.
Me too. And you yeah, know but, that some of our friends here in Washington were part of that, right? Donna Brazil, who's an important person in our little world in Washington, D.C., as well as on the national stage. Debbie Wasserman Schultz. These
yeah.
people, yeah, they, as we say in politics, they got caught with their pants down. And that's another thing Phyllis said that's absolutely true. That's the oldest axiom in politics, is that you keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So,
yes.
Right.
That's why I said, why is that such a bad thing to have friendly relations with Russia? I would suggest that Putin is brilliant. I don't agree with his methodology in general, but he's not stupid. And I think because of that intelligence that we might see something that we've never seen before, especially with if trade, immigration, who knows, Snowden, who knows? I mean, there's a whole lot that can come down with a friendly relationship with that country.
Well, you know,
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
what's been
ruthless.
Going
that
on
very,
hasn't worked.
That's a scary thing. He's ruthless. And that's a scary thing. Is
that, yes, and I agree with you on that. So that, but because he's not stupid and he is in power, I think that there is a possibility of thawing. And maybe some humanitarian changes.
Yeah.
He only questions because he feels fear. If that fear is removed, who knows how it might go in that society?
Let's talk about China and how they changed once they started selling everything to the U.S.
Good.
They had a terrible country, a communist country. And all of a sudden, these people all have money, and they act like just like Americans now. Isn't that amazing? And they all have money now and drive fancy cars.
Well, that's true. You know, I ran a business too, Phyllis, and you never want to kill your biggest customer, you know, right? You always want to keep your biggest customer happy. So, as we are the biggest customer these days for China, yeah, I think there's an incentive there for them to, you know, if you want to call it Americanize or become more democratic. Yeah, I think there is an incentive there. And maybe there is that hope in Russia. Let's hope that's what it is. Let's work towards that. And thanks for being with us, Tabu. But before we let Phyllis go, I want to talk about just one more appointee, if she has an opinion on it. And that's, our new attorney general nominee, Sessions from Alabama. How do you feel about him? Do you like him, Phyllis?
You know, I heard during the sessions with Sessions.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That was funny. You know, all I heard the entire time, and you know, Cory Booker, I've met Cory Booker before. He's a very intelligent man, and I was a little disappointed listening to him too, because it sounded like he was running for president soon. But,
maybe,
you know, when
yes.
You go and you relate to something about someone who's been in Congress for 14 years, and I'm certainly sure, not just Senator Sessions, but many people from the South in the past were definitely racist. I can guarantee it. Okay, my brother was stationed down in South Carolina. I watched the colored bathrooms and the white bathrooms. You know, we've come a long way since then. And I don't believe that in all those years, you know how you grow up in a neighborhood and there used to be the Irish here, the German here, the black family here. Everybody's
yeah.
in their own neighborhood, right? I live in Philadelphia. We're a whole area neighborhood.
Right.
And the Irish didn't like the Germans and the Catholics didn't like the Jews and the blacks didn't like the whites. And it's just like, I mean, and we learned to live together. And I'm going to leave this with you because no matter about Mr. Sessions, Congressman or Senator, I'm sorry, I'm saying the wrong name. He's running for attorney general based on his background of what he's done. And I did read up on a lot of the legislation he actually worked on. And it all had to do with protecting blacks in his constituency. So I do believe the man in his own mind, and he's not there for the KKK. I mean, I don't know why everybody keeps saying that. But he was an attorney general before. This is somebody who knows the U.S. He was a U.S. attorney general. He understands, and he kept saying, I go by the laws that are passed by the Congress and by the Senate. If somebody's going to be an attorney general, they need to understand the law. And they're not the ones making it. They just need to protect the people under it. And if that's what this man will do, then I'll, again, give him the benefit of the doubt. I didn't say I like all these people. I don't know them. I really honestly want to know that they have the experience to handle the job. And that they have the people in-house, and Senator,
you're fading out, Phyllis.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
I'm sorry. It's all the, can you hear me now? It's all the people that you do business with. If you're in the Senate and he knows all those people, I'm sure he can get along with whatever they want. And it comes from the Congress and it comes from the Senate making those laws. And if he has to uphold the law, then that's his job. And you would expect him to do that. I mean, all these agencies have their own little things going on. The fact is somebody needs to control it. And if they can do that, then all power to him. I'll again give him the benefit of a doubt. So the only thing I can say right now is it's to be seen. I don't know what these people would do. And they, see what's amazing? Have you ever interviewed people? Because I did. And they look great on paper. And then when they had to do the job, they sucked. I mean, you want to put it that way? They were the worst.
I agree with that. But I certainly agree with your right to be able to say it and give you a feeling. And I want to tell you, I think that we hope that you will come back on our show. First of all, thanks for coming on. I think you have a very interesting perspective, and I think you're very sincere and very intelligent, and that you express that sentiment very well. And I think it's something that we need to hear, because I absolutely agree that America's hurting. America wants change. This is what democracy is. And look, change is here, and we need to work with it. So thanks for coming on, and thanks for giving us that interesting perspective. And I hope you'll come back maybe in a few weeks or a few months after we see what he's actually done.
Yes.
Okay, then I can bash him with you at that point. If he's been, well, I'm very honest about that. I appreciate you having me on the show. I enjoyed it. Maria, thank you. You know, women or not, it doesn't matter in this country. We're all together. We're all Americans, and we need to remember that. And if we can do that, I think we can make wonderful things happen.
Agreed.
Well, I think
I appreciate your message, Phyllis.
Yeah, yeah, me
especially
too,
as a businesswoman.
Yes.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Soon.
Have a great week.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
We're going to take a little break here.
BBSRadio.com.
So what do you think, Maria? What do you think about Phyllis and the things she had to say?
What I appreciate about her is that she seems like you and me, if you don't mind the comparison, that she's reasonable, intelligent, and open to a conversation and a dialogue with opinions that may differ, which I find refreshing.
Yes.
But also, I think, Michael, you and I could agree that I would say that we're fiscally conservative and socially liberal. You just happen to lean more left than I do, and I lean more right in terms of not wanting government as involved in our lives, in our wombs, in our bedrooms, and in our lives in general. So I think we're kind of a hybrid, if you will. And
well,
I'm hoping that there's more of that coming.
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I'm always honored to be compared to you. And second of all, I feel that way. And I feel that this is one of the reasons I asked her on the show, because I didn't want to have a screaming match with somebody that you know, says, you know, Donald Trump's just terrible. And we say, oh, well, you know, this and that. And I wanted somebody that really wants to accommodate the change that's out there, that, you know, that may have a different opinion on how we need to do that. And I think she does, but that really wants to accommodate the change that America's calling for, because that I think she's absolutely right about. The America wants change. It's hurting right now. And what I see here in Washington is us still standing completely divided, saying, no, we're right, you're right, you're wrong, no, they're right, we're wrong. You know, we're never going to get anywhere that way.
Well, interestingly enough, though, what I've noticed is there has been a subtle shift. In today's paper, which is a USA Today version that my local paper was acquired by them, they were talking about President Obama running on hope and change, and they said, change didn't happen, hope still exists. And I thought, wow, for a left-leaning liberal publication to actually say that is the beginning, I think, of maybe a repositioning that we're having as a country and as a citizenry. I don't know what your thoughts are about that, but I was shocked. Because even the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, the tenor seems to be different. And I don't know if it's because it's about the bottom line, which is subscriptions, and they're realizing that what they were doing isn't what people are feeling, or else President-elect Trump wouldn't have been elected, or if you think that we're actually maybe getting a little wiser or more tolerant. I don't know what your thoughts are, Michael, but I find it very curious.
I think that's very interesting, Maria, and I'm not exactly sure what that, you know, how to answer your question. I think that President Obama could only do so much as a black president when it came to certain things like race. And I think that Phyllis is right, that segregation and race relations have gotten worse over in recent times. And that may be in part, I don't know if that's in part due to the fact that people in this country, minorities, African Americans in particular, felt that everything was going to be okay now because we elected an African American president, or because and are now disappointed because they don't think he moved as far as he could. But we all understand as an African-American president that he could only move so far in that direction. You know what I mean? Without coming under great criticism and great back pressure. So I don't know. I hope that hope is still alive. I think this is still America. One thing that offended me during the Trump campaign, and there were things that offended me on both sides, but one thing was the slogan, Make America Great Again, because I don't ever remember when America wasn't great. And I think America still is great. And I think that most Americans believe that too. So
I don't think we are as revered as we once were. And maybe that's a good thing because we are only 200 years old and suddenly we became the world's caregiver. But I don't think that we were as respected and admired and that it was the great American dream to come here or to be here or to be a self-made person. I think that was lost. And I think that is what resonated with folks because I don't know about you, Michael, but all four of my children are talking about moving out of state because they cannot afford real estate in the state of California. And that's scary for me as their mother because I'd like to stay here the rest of my life. This is my home, but I don't want to be away from my children and subsequent grandchildren. But if home ownership is that elite, I mean, that is a great American dream. And if that isn't possible, then there's something that we need to do. And I don't know what the answer is, frankly, but it's those things. And that I've got my eldest son who graduated from the University of Southern California from the Anderson School of Business in entrepreneurial studies is drowning under his student debt. I paid for 2.5 years and his dad was supposed to pay for the other 2 years and the dad didn't. So he took out student loans and he can't get ahead because the minimum payment, the interest only payment is what he would be able to save. And instead it's going to student debt and it's not buying down that loan. It's only maintaining it. It's terrible.
Well, I absolutely believe that you're right about that being the chord that Trump hit. I think with the slogan, make America great again, which I've already said I didn't like, but I think it made people long for a time, you know, when things were better for many of them. Not all of us, you know, I wouldn't want to be a black person in the 1960s, but, for a lot of people, especially the kinds of people that supported Donald Trump, life, you know, maybe I hesitate to say that life was better, but there certainly was more hope. When I got out of college, there was no doubt in my mind that I would find a good professional
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't even think about it. My
of
kids
course.
Don't even think about that today. They don't even say
it's
that.
Tragic. Do you remember the job fairs that used to come to campus? And we were hired in our senior years. It's where you're going to be employed. Right. And that is not the case anymore. It's crazy to think, not to mention, I paid $200 a unit to go to the University of California. Now I'm paying $1,100 a unit to go to my private college to get my master's degree.
I don't want to tell you how old I am. I paid $35 a unit. And I moved into Maryland from D.C. I lived in D.C. actually, and I moved into Maryland because I attended the University of Maryland, and I didn't want to pay like $40 credit hour. Yeah, because that was outrageous. But yeah, it's true. And you know what? With my daughter, my oldest daughter, I'm helping three kids get through college. But with my oldest daughter, my wife and I spent $120,000 to put her through college. She took out $20,000 worth of loans. We made her take out a loan every year. But, and so now she's $20,000 in debt. And she's, gotten herself a job that she loves, but it doesn't pay very well.
Right.
You know, and yeah, and things like home ownership, I don't even know that that's on her radar, ever, you know? But
I mean, if you can't own your own home, and I hope this doesn't sound elitist, but that's your one guarantee that you're going to have a roof over your head for as long as you choose.
Right.
Not because some landlord decides to jack up the rent, or some landlord decides to sell, or some landlord decides to make it a multi-story, whatever. If you own your own home, you know that if you can make that mortgage payment, you can stay there for forever, leaving feet first.
Well, and we know how much people sacrifice for it. We see today in Washington, D.C., you know, we see couples that have professional jobs, and the two of them together spend 60% of their income paying their mortgage. You know, it's nothing to in Washington, D.C., to have a mortgage that's $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month. I mean, which is just crazy as far as I'm concerned. My mortgage is not even 20% of that. So, it's just crazy. And I think you're right. I think that this is something that resonated with people.
How could it not? We're talking about basic, inalienable rights that we came to know and then were taken away. It's not like we didn't have it before. I think that's the problem. We have more college-educated folks than ever, and we have less home ownership than ever. Something's wrong there. And I'm not saying that trades aren't, and, you know, apprentices and all that stuff aren't valuable, because they are. Because what would we do without auto mechanics and car washes and dry cleaners and all of that stuff? But everybody, I guess, I don't know, maybe you would call it entitlement. That those were things that we just expected, and then suddenly it's not the norm anymore. I think that's where the unrest occurs. You know, at the table that you sit at, that you have meals at, the family that you surround yourself with, and then you have multiple generations living together. I mean, things have just changed, and I would suggest not necessarily for the better. If my children go out of state, it's going to break my heart. I know yours are out of state because they're getting educated, but don't you want them nearby, like 50 miles away or something, when it's all said and done?
Well, you know, I do, and I miss them terribly, and then they come home for a week, and I say things like, you know what? Why did you go visit Maria in California? It's beautiful out there. You know. But I want to leave on this note, because we want to play that song for Dr. King. First of all, let me say to America, if you're listening and you're losing hope, let's not forget that tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. This is a man that changed the world before he reached the age of 40. He never made 40, and he did all this stuff. So one person can make a difference, obviously. And I keep on thinking of what, I don't know if she was originally from California, but I know that's where she ended up. But what Mae West used to say, which is, presented with two evils, I would always choose the one I'd never tried. And, you know, and I look at our campaign, and isn't that what we said? Didn't we come out, and didn't the Democrats say, our person's not the best, but she's not as bad as your person? And the Trump people did the same thing. They said, okay, he's not great, but he's not as bad as your person. So we ran a campaign of two evils, and people chose the one they'd never tried.
Interestingly enough, your party embraced her. I would suggest the Republican Party was reticent.
They were reticent, and this is going to cause them lots of problems, and this is for a future show. That's true. Our party did embrace Hillary Clinton.
It was shameful, I think, the way that the Republican Party treated Donald Trump, especially after he became the nominee, you know, after the primary.
Nobody expected him to win. It's all about winning in politics. But on that note, we'll talk to you next week, America. Yes.
Happy Martin Luther King Day.
Right.
God bless
you. Bless
America.
We want you to keep being hopeful, and I agree with Maria. God bless him. God bless America, and let us all be hopeful. And we'll see you next week.
Yes. Thank you, Michael. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote. Give the people their right to vote.